Okay, we're starting here on the top of Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph, five lines down. We're continuing with the sugya that we left off with yesterday, which is that Abaye was speaking about Eid Echad is Naman B'Isurim. There are certain instances where Eid Echad is Naman. So Abaye actually brought down three examples of where we have an Eid Echad is Naman. One was the example of an Eid Echad testifying that Achalta Chelev, that a person is Mechuyav a Karban, I'll pee this Eid Echad if he's Shotek, if he's silent. The second case was a case of Eid Echad that said that your Taharot Nitme'u, that your Taharot became Tameh, and again, the other individual is silent, the Baal Din is silent. And the third case was Shorcha Nirba, that your Shorcha was somehow violated, had bestiality associated with it. And those are the three times, or three examples, that Abaye gave where an Eid Echad is Neman, when the Baal Din is Shotek, when the Baal Din is silent in response. Now the Gemara wants to know, why do I need three cases? V'tzricha. I need all three cases. Diashmin and Hachamaita, had I only known the case of Chelev, Ilav the Kimle Benavshe, the Ava the Chulin Bazar, lo Hava Maite. But, so what the point is that if the Baal Din, the reason the Baal Din is silent over here, is because he knows that's the right thing to do. He knows that the truth is that he did eat Chelev and he needs to bring the Korban into the Mikdash. Because had he known the truth, he wouldn't, or if he thought differently than the Eid Echad, he wouldn't let the Eid Echad be Mechayev him a Korban. Because if it's wrong that he's bringing a Korban, then he's bringing Chulin to the Azara, which is an Isur. So a person, unless he's sure that the Eid Echad is correct, he wouldn't be silent in the face of the testimony of Eid Echad. So therefore we believe him over here, because there is a deterrent, which is bringing Chulin to the Azara. So when he does agree, or when he's silent, and brings the Korban, we believe the Eid Echad in that instance. Aval nitmu tarotecha, when he says the Eid Echad testifies that his tarot became Tameh, may marmin and hide the shatik, why is he being silent in this case? Does ever chazi lei be made to mato? It's not such a big loss. If it comes Tameh, I can eat them when I am Tameh. Meaning that food or taros that became Tameh are still edible, still usable. And you know, if they're not Truma, they're still usable in this case. So he hasn't really lost the total use of the items. He says, Manav Shach, so if he's right, he's right. If he's not, he's not. But not that he's going to argue and stand up and argue with the Eid Echad, because there's really, it's not such a big loss to him. V'yashmin ha'mishum dekam afsi lebi mei tarato. That I would have thought in the case of taros, the reason that he's bleeding over there is still, there is some diminishment in the value of the food, because, or the taros here, because now he can only use them when he's tameh, but he can't use them while he is tahor. Ava shor no nirba me'ar mar, kolosh v'rayim lav l'gabay mizbech kaimei. By shor nirba, again, there's my nafkamina. Who cares that my shorcha is nirba? What does it make it pasul for? If shorcha nirba, it makes the shor pasul to go on the mizbech. You can't bring it as a korban. But that doesn't preclude you from using the shor for any other function. So over here, you're not really losing so much value in the shor. I say the reason he doesn't speak up here, we say, is because he hasn't really lost anything. He's not going to bring it as a korban. He wasn't intending to bring a korban anyway. So tzricho. So we need all three of these cases to tell us that in each of these instances, the Eid Echad is neman. Despite the fact that there are reasons to believe that the shtika by the Baal Din, the shtika by the party that's being affected here, is not because the Eid Echad is neman, but rather because he's indifferent to what the Eid Echad is speaking about. Nevertheless, we say in these instances, if he does have shtika, the shtika according to Rashi is a shtika koda, or the shtika according to Tosus means that he has enough knowledge about it that it's probably true, and therefore the Eid Echad is neman in all three of these cases. So Mark wants to know, now continuing the sugya of Eid Echad, Yibailu, ishto zitna be'Eid Echad, v'shotek mahu. That if there's an Eid Echad that says that his wife had a extramarital affair, and he remains silent, what's the din over here? Amar Abaye Neman. Abaye says that the Eid Echad in that instance, like the cases before of Abaye, the Eid Echad's Neman. Here the Baal Din, the husband is being silent, and his silence is the equivalent of acquiescence over here, and therefore the Eid Echad's Neman, and he'll have to divorce his wife. Rav Amar Einu Neman. Rabbi says he's not believed in this instance. Why not? This is a issue that deals with arayot, and when it comes to arayot, we know that there's a minimum standard, minimum requirement of two edim. So if there's a requirement of two edim, one aid is meaningless in this instance, and therefore he will not have to divorce his wife. So Amar Abaye, Abaye is going to go now through two cases, two proofs, to show that his position is correct, and then we'll come back and see a proof from Rava why his position is correct. Amar Abaye Minah Amin Allah. How can I prove to you that one aid is neman in these instances? Da'u Samia Da'avim Misader Matnaita Kamei Demar Shmuel. There was this individual, this blind man that was used to put out Mishnayos, learn Mishnayos, and put them in front of Mar Shmuel, and he used to learn with him every day. Yom Achad Nogale Velohavakate. Right. So one day he was not feeling well, or he didn't have the opportunity. He got late. And he didn't come. Shadar Shlicha Batre. So Shmuel sent someone after him to bring him to the, you know, to his normal chavrusa here. And ada azio shliach b'chada orcha atahi ihu b'chada. So shliach went to go get him. In the meantime, he came in a different way. He came in a different direction. So the shliach went to the house. In the meantime, the husband came to Shmuel. Got the shliach, and then the shliach returned, and the Samuel was there. Amar ishto zinta. Right. So the shliach says, when I was at your house after you had left, your wife had an extramarital affair. Ata lekamei demar Shmuel. So this Samuel came before Marshmuel and said, "Mamlei mehemen lach zil afko. If you believe this aid, go divorce your wife. Ilo lo tepik. If you don't believe this aid, don't go out. My love, what does this mean? Imehemen alach delav gazlanu. If you believe that he's a valid aid, right, and that he has credentials to be an aid, then you have to divorce your wife, even though it's an aid echad. So we see from here that aid echad is neman when it comes to testifying about the znus, about the extramarital affair of his wife. And that will be sufficient in order to force him to divorce his wife. That will be a proof to it by his position. So Rava says, no. No, he didn't mean to him, if you believe that this aid is a valid aid. Rather, if you trust this aid to be the equivalent of two aidim, meaning that you accept upon yourself the aidus of this person because he's so neman to you, you believe him in such a manner that he's the equivalent of two aidim over here, then go divorce your wife. Ilo, lo tifka. But if not, don't divorce her because there's only one aid here. One aid is not sufficient in order to force you to divorce your wife like the shito of Rova. I'll bring you another proof that aid echad is neman. So in Yonah Diyoma, talking about Yonah Melech is one of the kings of the Chashmonaim. Shalach the Kuchlit shemimidbar v'kibei sham shishim krachim. That he went to Kuchlit, this place in the desert, and he was able to conquer 60 cities over there. V'chazarato haya sameach simcha gedola. He was very happy on his way back. He was very excited. V'kar l'kol chachmei Yisrael. He invited all the chachmei Yisrael to join him in a party or in a celebration to give hodah l'Hashem. Amalem, avotenu ayu ochlim meluchim. V'zman asher yu asukim bebinyan beit ha-mikdash. Our forefathers, when they were building the Beit HaMikdash and they were very poor, they used to eat meluchim. As Rashi interprets, some sort of vegetable that is salty. Rashi calls it shemen kukuli. Whatever this item was an item that was consumed by poor people. And that's what they used, or that's what they ate when they were building Beis HaMikdash, because they had nothing more. Avanu ne'achal meluchim zecher avoteinu. Right, that we'll also now eat meluchim, zecher to what our forefathers went through, the poverty that they went through in order to build the Beis HaMikdash that we now have, and how far we've come. The wealth that we have now and the success we have as a nation now. So we'll give thanks to Hashem by eating the items that they ate when they first built the Beis HaMikdash to remind us of where we come from, what our roots are. They took out these meluchim, brought them out on golden tables, and they ate them. There was one person there, Ish Leitz, right? A joker, Lev Rab, horrible heart, to Bli'al without any consideration. Elazar ben Pu'ira Shemo. His name was Elazar ben Pu'ira. Elazar ben Pu'ira Yanei Melech. So he says to Yanei Melech, Libam Shel Prushim Alecha. The Prushim, they mean the Chachamim of the who came to join you, the Chachmei Yisrael, they don't really like you. They really are not so intent on your kingdom or your kingship, and you should be careful from them. Umaseh says, how will I know? How do you know that they're that way? He says, Hakem lahem betzitz shebenei necha. Why don't you show up at the party now, show up wearing the tzitz. The tzitz is the headband that belongs to the Kohen Gadol. You should wear that. Now, Yanai Melech was a Kohen. He was from the Bnei Chashmonaim. He was a Kohen. But he was only the king and not the Kohen Gadol. Hekim lehem betzitz, shebenei necha. So he showed up at the party, put on the tzitz. Aya sham zaken echad v'yehuda ben gedidei shmo. So there was one older gentleman, or older one of the chachamim, who said to him, right, v'yom yehuda ben gedidei yanei melech, rav lach keter machut. It's enough that you have the kingdom, that you're the king. Anach keter kuna b'zaro shel aron. Leave the keter kuna, leave the Kohen Gadol, or the kuna gudola, to another Kohen, or someone else from Zaro shel Aaron. There's no need for you to be both the king and the Kohen Gadol. Shemrim imo nishbeit b'modin. The problem of why the Chachamim didn't want to go on or acquiesce to him becoming the Kohen Gadol was because there was some sort of testimony that we'll have to see in the end that his mother had been taken captive in Modin. Modin is a city of Kohanim, city of the Chashmonaim, and his mother was taken captive, and therefore there was suspicion, right, that if his mother was taken captive, that she was quote unquote a zona. If she was a zona, then he is a chalal. He's a Kohen chalal, and he shouldn't be the Kohen Gadol. V'yivukasha davar. So then they investigated the matter. V'lo nimtza. And there was nothing. They found that it was wrong. That whatever they had suspected or whatever they thought was wrong. V'yibadlu chachmei Yisrael b'zam. Right, then the Chachmei Torah to leave because Yana Melch was so angry at them that they had even suspected or thought that possibly he should not be the Kohen Gadol. Vayom Elazar ben Puria li Yana Melch. So then this Elazar ben Puria, this negative, horrible guy, said, Yana Melch, had Yoch Bisrael Kach Hudino? Right, that if this was just a regular person, a lay person in Klal Yisrael, how would you take care of them? Meaning that someone cast aspersions on their Yuchus. Right, you're just going to let people wouldn't let them go over here. You are Ata Melech v'Kohen Gadol, Kachau Dincha. What's going to be the din? What's your what's the story for you, the king and the Kohen Gadol, that they should cast aspersions on you? Well, I mean, how could you? You can't accept that. You must deal with these people. So he says, Maaseh imatashumea the Maaseh. He says to him, what should I do? Imatashumea latati rum sam. So he says, kill all the Chachmei Yisrael. So Yanai Melech says in Torah matayalel. Okay, great, I kill all Chachamim, but now what are we going to do with Torah? Says, Hari Kucha Menechet Bekerem Zavit. Says that the Torah is right there. Anybody wants to go learn it can go learn it. We don't need the Chachamim to learn Torah. So, Kol HaRotzi Limod, Yavovi Limod. Anybody wants to come and learn, should come and learn. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Miyad Nizruka Bo Apikorsut. At that moment, the Yanai Melech was captured by Apikorsut. That solves the problem from Torah Shebichtav. The written Torah, anybody can go and learn it and read it whenever they want. But Torah Shebapeh, when it comes to the oral Torah, right, the Torah Shebapeh, you need the Chachamim to transmit that. You need a Mesorah. So how could it be that you're going to go kill all the Chachamim? But Yanai Niyat did not say that. My Miad, Vatotze Tzara, Yidei Elazar ben Puria, the bad went out, went forth from this Elazar ben Puria, V'argu Chachmei Yisrael. That Yanai Melech went ahead and killed all the Chachamim Yisrael, V'yolam Mishtomeim. Right, that the world was silent or in desolation, destruction. Ad Sheba Shimon ben Shetach, so Shimon Shetach, who was one of the surviving Chachamim, Ve'achzira to Torah Yoshnai, was able to recapture the Torah, bring the Torah back to its previous glory. Shimon ben Shetach was actually Yanai's brother-in-law. His sister was married to Yanai HaMelech, and his sister had hid him away or squirreled him away so that he would be saved, sent him down away to Mitzrayim, told him ahead of time, so he escaped out of Yanai HaMelech's grasps, and therefore he was able to maintain the Torah and continue the Shoshana Mesorah. The Gemara Brachot relates also that Yanai HaMelech needed to pass an alocha, and he needed a chachamim, and he killed them all. So his wife says, I'll bring you a chacham, Shimon Shadach, but you promise you won't kill him. That was her brother. So Shimon Shadach eventually came back to his previous, brought the Torah back, and he himself back to the previous glory as before. So Gemara going to ask, Hechi Dami, what was the case that they suspected that Yanai HaMelech was inappropriate to be the Kohen Gadol? If you say they have two witnesses say that his mother was taken captive, two witnesses saying that she wasn't taken captive, why would we believe one set of Edim over the other set of Edim? So how can you prove here that the Chachamim went and checked it out and they knew for certain what had happened? We don't know anything for certainty. But that character here, and Rashi points over here, we don't say that Uki Trey Bahadi Trey, meaning that the two sets of witnesses cancel each other out, and then Ukim, the Isha, his mother, should be Al Chezkata. Should go back to her previous Chazaka. Her Chazaka was that she was a Ksheira. So why don't we say that the Edom fall away, and now she is a Ksheira? So the Rashi says we can't say that. Why? Because if she was present, if she's in front of us, then that's true. Then we can make such a claim that if the witnesses fall away, she goes back to her previous chazak or standing, which is that of the Ksheira. Problem here is that we're talking about her son. And we're discussing her son. The question that's been brought up, or that's arisen over here, is from the moment the son was born. Was the son born as a psul, or was he born as a kasher? So therefore there is no chazak anymore. This son has no chazak when he stands before us. We don't know if he was kasher ever, and we don't know if he was psul always. So because of that, there is no chazaka, and if the Edom fall away, we can't say, uki him b'chazka, and he'll be kasher. We just don't know anything. According to that, the way Rashi is learning is that, how could they ever come up with a conclusion? Even if you wipe out the Edom, how could you ever come up with a conclusion below lo matzo, that they didn't find out anything wrong with him? I mean, they had no evidence contrary to say that he was kasher, and we can't be mokim on his chazaka, and therefore he should have remained in the status of psul. So therefore, that can't be the explanation of what happened here. Gemar says, it must be a case of Eid Echad, and that's why Abayi is bringing it to proof. What? The time had to come, Machshilei Beitrei. So what? The Eid Echad was Neman to say that his mother was taken a captive, and because of that, he was a psula. Then two Edom came and testified against that first aid. Right? So only because the two Edom came and testified against the first aid, is that's what changed the status of Yanai Melech. Halav Hachim Hemen, had it not been for these two Edom that came later on and said that she was not taken captive, we would have believed the one aid to say that she is a psula. So you see from here that an Eda Echad is Neman in these instances. So that's a bias proof. See here that an Eda Echad is Neman. V'rava the olam trey v'trey. Rava says, no, the case is, like we said before, two Edim against two Edim. Uktama Ravacha Barev Nuni be'ede Azama. The second set of Edim were not Edim that were machish, the first Edim. They weren't contradicting this first Edim, but rather they were Ede Azama. Ede Azama is Hakanami Be'ede Azama, that they came and said that you cannot testify to this matter because you were with us, you Edim. And since you Edim with us, you couldn't testify to this matter. And the Ede Azama, the Torah says, the second set of Edim are believed, and we get rid of the first Edim are made into Edim Zomimim, and then they will be punished, depending on the situation, or the Edus, or the Hasra, but they'll be punished. But nevertheless, the first Edus falls away entirely. So therefore, Yana would go back to his original status as a Kasher. The other possibility is Rabbi Yitzchak. Damar Yitzchak, Shifcha, Echnisu, Tachta. That truly there were two sets of Edim, but what had transpired was that his mother was taken captive, but before she was left alone, before she didn't have any Edim there, they swapped her out with a Shifcha. And so the other second set of Edim, one set of Edim that came and testified that she was there, right, were testifying they thought was her because they started taking away, but it was really the Shifcha. And the first two Edim, the other two Edim were testifying, no, that they had swapped her out with a Shifcha, and therefore it wasn't her that was found there. And that was the issue, and therefore it's not a proof to Abaye in this case. Just to point out a couple things here. First of all, why was Yana HaMelech allowed to put on the tzitz? So Rashi says, because we have a principle, we can see in the Gemara later on, but in other places the Gemara mentions that Big Day Kahuna, right, are lehenot nitnu, that you can get benefit from Big Day Kahuna, because Gemara says that the mitzvah were not given to Malachi Asheret, and therefore we can't assume that a Kohen, as soon as he's done with his avoda, he's going to take his clothing off and be done with his Big Day Kahuna that instant. So we have to be, there has to be a built-in dispensation for a Kohen to wear his clothing beyond this, the time of the avoda, and therefore you can get some benefit from it. So it says, but that's still, that's not what really the Gemara means, that he doesn't have to take off instantly. Not that he can just keep wearing them wherever he wants. So it says now that the tzitz here was an exceptional case, because the tzitz says, v'yom etzchot tamid, that the tzitz always has to be on his head. So that means that even shelo b'shat avoda, even at a time that it's not avoda, that the tzitz has this character about it, that it can be worn even outside the context of avoda. And that's why specifically Yanai put on the tzitz outside of the makom avoda. The second thing is, even in a biased position, above his position, we have to discuss. We know that above we said that when you have makdish be'ed echad, ein choshesh in the kedushav. We saw above that when a person is nikta, had generate kedushin with an eid echad, we say ein choshesh in the kedushav. We don't worry about those kedushin at all. So if that's the case over here, how can the Gemara even entertain the question that an eid echad should be neman shizinta, that she was had an extramarital affair, according to Abaye? How can, if everybody agrees that by Erechad, by Kiddushin, it's not sufficient, then how can you say over here, Erechad is going to be sufficient for Zintab, extramarital affair? Tosafot says, well, that's the exact difference. By Kiddushin, we're talking about the Ma'os Kiddushin. When a person gives money to someone, they can be for different reasons. They can give it as a gift, they can give it as Kiddushin, and therefore, right, the Erechad is not meaningful. We need real Edus to generate the Smichus Hadas, to create the, or to Miyatzer, the Kiddushin. That's not true over here. Over here, what the problem is that there was an extramarital affair. It was Zinta. Doesn't matter whether with Edim or without Edim. The fact that his wife had Znus is what's Oser him here. So therefore, maybe the Edachad should be Naaman over here, because simply the knowledge that she had Znus is enough to force the marriage to be dissolved. Also, for Rava, in Rava's position, why don't we say over here that the Shtika Tabao, like we said above, is Kehoda. If the Shtika Tabao is Kehoda Damya, why shouldn't she be osur on him? Why is his silence, according to Rava? You need to aid him, fine. But the fact that he was shotek over here is kehodadam, as if he admitted it. So that, you have to say, Tosu says over here, that you have to say that Rava believes that the reason why when you're silent, you're believed, is not because of shtika kehoda. We explained this in Tosu yesterday, that Rashi believes it's shtika kehoda, but Tosu doesn't believe it. Tosu believes it's because the husband should have been present, or in the other cases, the erechad, that the person had knowledge about the situation, and the Eid HaChad says, man, you should have known about this. So over here also, we have to say, the Shtika is not Kodara, Elo Mishum Deika Raglaim Ladavar Mehem Nele, that only when there's circumstantial evidence there do we believe him. But without circumstantial evidence, we're not going to believe him. So in this case, if you have an Eid HaChad come and testify about that the wife had Znus, there's no Raglaim Ladavar for this. So in that instance, we're not going to say that an Eid HaChad is Neman, as opposed to the other cases where we say Eid HaChad Neman, is because either there's Raglaim Ladavar, there's circumstantial evidence, or that the indication, as Tosafot said yesterday, is that the aid is saying to this Baal, you should know about it. This Baal Din, you should know about this. You were there. And that shtika, that type of shtika, is an admission that I really was there and I really saw it happen. But over here, the shtika is not because he saw it happen. His shtika is because he doesn't know. And in that case, the erechad is not going to be neman according to Rava. Last thing I point out here is that Yanai HaMelech over here is one of the Chashmonai kings. And I've heard from Professor Gaffney, who's an expert in the history of the second bayit. He mentions that the Gemara in general, the Chachamim in general, have a very positive bias towards the Chashmonaim. And you see that from this Gemara over here. In the description of the story, none of the blame is really put on Yanai HaMelech. All the blame is put on Elazar ben Porira, that he was the one who caused the problem. He's the one who killed all the Chachamim. It wasn't Yanai HaMelech. Even though Yanai HaMelech was the one who actually did it, nevertheless, you see that the Gemara really puts the blame or puts the responsibility on Elazar ben Poria, again, shedding this much more positive light that the Chachamim had towards the Chashmonaim. And obviously, we have the holiday of Chanukah, which comes from the Chashmonaim. All right, so now the Gemara continues. Now, Rava says, what I have approved to you. Amar Rava, Menamin Allah. I can prove to you, Abai, that you need two Eidim for to have proved Znos, not just one Eid. There were these pots of water, meaning that there was water in the ground that were used as mikvaot, that were in Yavna, that they had a chazaka, that they had 40 sa'a in them, and so they were kosher mikvaot. And then, what happened? Madudu. They went and measured it, and they realized that it was less than 40 sa'a. Kol ta'arot shenasu al gaba, all ta'arot, and anybody who had tried to be mitar himself in that mikvah, hey, Rabbi Tarfon mitar, Rabbi Tarfon says, everything until that point that we measured it is a chazaka, that it was fine, that it was tahor. Only from the moment that we know it was chaser forward is it a problem. Rekiva metame, Rabbi Kiva says no, retroactively. Until we know for certain that the mikvah was full and a kosher mikvah, we're going to assume everybody was, or everything was tameh. So I'm Rabbi Tarfon, mikvah zeh b'chezkat shalim. This mikvah has a chazaka that it was full. Who will made? Misafek ata bala ha-chasro. Right? So now, all of a sudden, because we measured it now, we know it's empty, you're going to be safek, say that it was missing all the way through. Al ta-chasro misafek. Don't take away the cheskat kashas of the mikvah until, except from the point forward where we know that the water was missing. So Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi Kiva, Adam zeb cheskat tamei. Wait a minute, there's an opposing chazaka here. They don't just have a chazaka of the kosher mikvah, you also have a chazaka of a person that's tamei. Right? So tamehu omeid umisafek ata balutaro. Now you have a safek whether this mikvah was really kosher, and you want to say take away the cheskas tuma from the person, that you can't do. Al tereno misafek. So Amar Rabbi Tarfon Moshal la omeid umakriva gabim's beach. I'll tell you what this is like. Our case here is like a case where a kohen, right, is standing and being makriv on the mizbeach. No doshu ben grusha ben chalutza. And then he finds out that he's really a kohen chalal. Shevato ksheira. That any avodah you've done until that point is considered to be avodah ksheira. Only from this point forward may he not perform avodah. So Rabbi Akiva says, why are you comparing to a ben grusha chalutza? Mike, I would compare the case to mashallah omeidu makriva gabe mizbeach. No doshu balmum. That he finds out that he's a balmum when he's working on the mizbeach. Shevato psula. The avodah that he's working on plus the mafreya, all that avodah is considered psula, it's considered not to be good. So Amar Rav Tofanata, Dimitiu leBalmum. You compare him to Balmum. Bani Dimitiv leBen Grusha Chulutz, and I compared the case here to Ben Grusha Chulutz. Nira leMi Dome. Let's see who's right here. Idome leBen Grusha Velen Chulutz, Nidonu keBen Grusha Chulutz. If this case is similar to the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chulutz, then we'll say the din should be like Ben Grusha Ben Chulutz, and it should be Kosher leMafreir until the point that we know that the mikvah was Kosher. Imdome leBalmum. If our case here by the mikvah is more similar to the case of Balmum, then we'll give the din like a Balmum, which is that from any point, even until that point, everything will be considered not to be kosher until the point we know for certain that the mikvah was malei, or was a full mikvah and a kosher mikvah. Hitcha Rabbi Kiva Ladun. So if you were going ahead, okay, I'll show you that it's more like a Balmum than a Ben Chalutza, a Grusha and Chalutza. Why? Mikvah psulo biyachid. A mikvah can be passed by one individual. Ubamlo misulo biyachid. A Balmum also can be passed by one person. That a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza make a Kohen Chalal, you need two Eidim to do that. Devar Acher, another reason why they're more comparable. Mikvah Psulo B'Gufo. The problem in the Mikvah is in the Gufa Mikvah, it's Chaser. Balmum Psulo B'Gufo. Balmum also, the problem is that on his body, in his Gufi, as a Mum. Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza B'Shulo Me'achirim. That the person himself, the Kohen Chalal, is not what caused the Chalalut. The Chalal came because his mother or his father did something incorrect. They married inappropriately, they had an inappropriate relationship, and therefore he's born of that relationship. So it's others that are making it. It's not, the psul came from others. Now it's passed on to him, and now he's a Kohen Chalal. Zomele Rabbi Tarfon Akiva, Kolaporish Mimcha, Kolaporish Minachayim. Anybody who leaves you is like leaving life, because you understand you're so well-versed in Torah, and you understand how to compare the cases, that this case in mikvah should be like a bal mum. So now, hai bal mum shepsulo biyachid, echidami. So now, we still haven't gotten to the proof that Rav is bringing from here, but now we are. This psul, when we say that a bal mum is psulo yachid, what's the case? Either kamachishle, right, imehemen, right, so if he comes along and says, the Eidach comes and testifies, he's a bal mum, and the Baal Din, the Kohen himself, says, he disagrees with him. Mimehemen, would he be believed in such an instance? El Deshaki, it must be that a case where he's silent. Ukavate, Gabi Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, Deshatik, in a case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, if he was silent, Tani Mikveh, Psulo, Biyachid, Ubal Mum, Psulo, Biyachid. Then only by a Mikveh and a Baal Mum is one sufficient. Vayuchich Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, Psulo, Bishnaim. You see, then he knew to aid him. So by Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, when you're talking about to be post-sell somebody, to take away their Yichus, or to be post on the marriage, that you need to aid him for. So let's say over here also, when it comes to Davar Shebe Erva, you should require to aid him to say that the woman had an extramarital affair and to force a divorce here. So Rabbi Amar Le'olam to come Machishle. No, it's an Eid Echad, and the Eid Echad, the Baal Din is saying, the Kohen is saying, I'm not a Baal Mum. Victor Amar, it's Amai Mehemen. So why is the Eid Echad Neman in the face of the rejection or the disagreement of the Baal Din? That's because Zarmalei Shlach HaKvai. He said, I can say to him, when it comes to a Baal Mum, we can check it. He says, take off your clothes. Meaning that, let's check out whether you have a Mum or not. Meaning that you're disagreeing with the aid that says you're a Baal Mum, right? It's not going to stand water because we can test, we can check it out. And therefore, the Erechad has more Nemonus here because we can check it out. And Tosfos points it out here that in general, that when we have a Davar Sheyachol Hitbarer, something that can be checked on or carefully or checked it for its veracity, then an Eid Echad is Neman in those cases, even when the Baal Din disagrees. Because in the end, the fact that we can check it gives an additional Nemonus to the Eid Echad. Because he's not going to lie in the face of knowing that they could just go check and find out that he's lying. He doesn't have any interest in doing that. So if it's easily verifiable, then we say that the Eid Echad is Neman. So over here, the Baal Mum is easily verifiable, so therefore the Eid Echad is Neman, even in the face of the Baal Din, the Kohen saying no. And that's what it means, that the psulo is begufo, and balmum psulo gufo. Because when it means psul begufo, it means literally on his goof. We can check it out. Right? That's why they're both goof. The mikveh we can measure, and we can check it out. The goof we can check out, and we can know if he's a balmum. Ben grusha ben chalutza, that we can't check out, because it deals with achirim, and has other people that are involved. Okay, now the Gemara wants to know about these two principles that we just established. How do we know that a Kohen Chalal that works, that his Avodah is K'sheira, and also the Avodah he did prior to this point in time was K'sheira? The Pasuk says, it says that this will be for him, meaning for Aaron, a Kohen, for the Kohanim, and for his generations afterwards, Ben Zera Kasher, Ben Zera Pasul. That it doesn't differentiate. It says Zera being an ambiguous term, meaning that it could be Zera Kasher, Zera Pasul. So it's irrespective of what type of Zera, the Avodah is still Kshera. So Rashi points out, if that's the case, why can't a Kohen Chalal go and do Avodah L'chadchila? That's not, Rashi says, that's because he's called a Chalal. If he's called a Kohen Chalal, it's because he's Chulin. Meaning that there is something wrong here. There's something that's been taken away from him. So Bidi, ever if he does it, we say the Avodah is Kshera. But L'chadchila, to go ahead and do the Avodah, that we're not going to say. Avodah Shmo Amar Mehoch, we learn from this pasuk, Baruch Hashem Chelo, Barech Hashem Chelo, Fal Yadav Tirtzeh. It's by the Brocha of Levi and Zosa Brocha. It says, Baruch Hashem Chelo, Ufal Yadav Tirtzeh. That Hashem should give Brocha to his Chel, right? Ufal Yadav Tirtzeh. And he will be happy and accepting of his actions, of his what he does. Afilu Chulin. So they're making a play on the word Chelo to be Chulin Shebo. Even those that are Chol, those are the Kohanim Chalalim. Nevertheless, Pol Yadav Tirtzeh. They will be accepted, their avodah will be accepted by Hashem. We know from this pasuk, you'll go to the Kohen at that time. How are you going to go to a Kohen that's not in your time? I mean, it's obvious that you go to the Kohen in your time. What does it mean that he's in your time, the Kohen of your time? This was a Kohen that was kosher, and now he is made into a chalal. So again, he was in your yamim, and then he changed out, and he wasn't in your yamim anymore. So that Kohen was a kosher at the time that he was still a kosher, before he was known to be a chalal. Everything that he did at that point in time was considered ksheira, and the avodah was ksheira. Baal mum davarot psula minalan. How do you know that a baal mum that does avodah, that we say that his avodah is psula? Amar Rav Yudah Mashmol, Amar Kora, the pasuk says, Chein Amor, this is by Pinchas, it says, I'm going to give him my brit of shalom, kuhu shalem. Right, so there it talks about that he's given Brit Kunat Olam. The Pilas is given the Kuna. When is he given the Kuna? Is he Nenotein Lo Brit Shalom? When he is shalem. Below kashu chaser, not when he's missing. The Gemara says, Vah shalom k'tiv. Pasuk doesn't say shalem, it says shalom. Rav Nachman, vav de shalom k'tiyahi. The vav in the Torah by shalom is actually cut in half. There's a slice through the middle of the vav. It's because the vav's not there. And therefore, they could read the word as shalem and not shalom. And therefore, a requirement to be a Kohen, to be Brit Kunat Olam, is that you must be Shalem, you must be without a Baal Mum. With a Baal Mum, or having a Mum, makes you not a Kohen. You can't have a Brit Kunat Olam, and therefore your Avodah is Psula. Okay, we'll stop over here.